Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment. What would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego, but what aspect of ego? Example, I would have to let go my belief that it's all up to me to make a difference in everyone's life and that I'm limited in my ability to do that. RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, good morning. This is Anna calling from the monastery.
Well, good morning, Anna. What are you seeing?
Good morning. Well, the aspect of ego that I would have to give up for the karma not to be maintained is, you know, we've been using that image on these calls of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, narrowing the pipe. Mm-hmm. The aspect of ego is the pipe operator. So this illusion of being outside the pipe and able to turn the pipe off and on. So a kind of withholding, right? So I've been looking at giving around energy and tasks. And the way I saw this pipe operator most clearly is around love and seeing how it's kind of all the same, but this is what this is where I saw it. So, for example, this illusion, this belief that I am the pipe operator of love for Anna and everyone else, and if she doesn't meet my standards, I can withhold that love from her. I can turn off that pipe. And same for other people. So, for example, I walk past another person, and a thought appears in the mind, a reason to withhold love from them. And there's that, like, a physical clenching and, like, this sense of turning off the pipe, withholding that that giving. And when I saw that, it was like, it was one of those moments, you know, when you see how what is so has been so distorted, that there's such a fiction laid over it, that what we are is love, that all it is love. And so to have, you know, it's such a bizarre thing to be trained into, that you are this individual, a separate self, and can withhold what's coming through that pipe. You can turn that pipe off, you know, for the human being that you own, you're the pipe operator for, and for other people.
Yeah. And so, of course, what I would project that you have had a very, very clear experience of is ego.
Yeah.
And when we say the hardest thing in awareness practice is to get that we are not ego and ego is not us. That's what you're describing. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't think of it as ego. It's just the observer, the moderator, the pipe operator, the one who's in charge of knowing and deciding and discriminating and judging and all of that goes under the heading of ego. And exactly as you described, that's what ego is doing. It's just clamping down, so that only enough life gets through to keep a person operable.
So the operator can keep on operating. Yeah.
All the energy is going to the operator. Yeah, that's very clear. All right. Mm. Thank you, Anna.
Well, thank you.
One more individual goes into the unemployed roles. and no unemployment benefits, just out of work, done, finished. Don't need a pipe, don't need an operator.
Yeah, there really is that sense of, you know, in the what would you have to let go of question, that the seeing it is the letting go of it somehow.
Yes,
that all comes together. Yeah.
Oh yes, you couldn't have seen it You're exactly right. The seeing it is after the fact. It's already happened, and then we see it. Yeah. I mean, you could say that it all happens simultaneously, but it's that registering it. So by the time we register it, it's happened.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's fascinating.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, Anna.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Go happy.
Thanks, Anna. All these images that we are receiving, Sherry, just so helpful, because it's so it so embodies the experience of what we go through.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why people like Jesus liked parables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really hard to look at it directly, but then when you hear a story about it, you go, "Oh, I know that experience. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what he means?"
Yeah. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. Hi, Ashwini. Hi, Sherry. It's Todd.
Hello, Todd. What are you seeing?
Good morning. I'm seeing that the aspect of ego that I'd have to let go of is how I feel dictates what this human gets to do.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a big one. It's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we bring in Anna's pipe operator.
Yeah.
Right. Then we can see that what's flowing through that pipe is feelings.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So feelings. Are you having the right feeling, Todd? Oh, yeah. Okay. Like having the wrong Shut that down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. And it's tied into, well, then it leaches into, well, the pipe operator is sucking the energy from the being. So it leaches into, well, you know, with giving or receiving or participating is, oh, I don't want to. I don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And if I don't feel like it,
yeah.
Well, there we are. I mean, that's it. I don't want to. I don't feel like
it. Yeah.
And then the one I love right there, Todd, is, and it's my life.
Right. Yeah.
And then we go, no, it's not. No, it's not your life, ego. It's my life.
And from yesterday's assignment, what I saw too is it cuts me off from being sentient in the authentic way, but not sentient in the conditioned way.
Mm-hmm.
The two distinctions really popped up in that assignment.
Uh-huh.
That I can feel, but authentically, right? I can come from a place of feeling. I'm not devoid of feeling. But if it's conditional, then it dictates what I do. And it's not coming from that place of the heart or the authenticity.
Yeah. Well, and what you're exploring, Todd, is really big. Because most of us have been cut off from authentic feeling, ages ago.
Yeah.
And feeling is a story, right, that ego uses to keep us in the place that it wants us, which is subjugated. Right? And so then looking at, well, what is an authentic feeling? What, as you say, we're sentient beings. I got to pay really close attention here, because I bet that sentient thing is happening moment by moment by moment. What is it?
Yeah, like, because there'll be a life prompt, and then there'll be this, if I'm paying really close attention to that life prompt and get moved by it, then there's this heart-opening experience, and I project that's that sentient movement into that authentic feeling of wanting and not should have to. Mm-hmm. I want to, because I'm moved by life, or life is moving through me, or however it can be described.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with, as you indicate, the heart open instead of the pipe operator shutting it down, right?
Yeah.
And what I think you're describing is there something happens and you're moved.
Yeah.
And right behind that, well, but what should you, I,
oh.
yeah.
Precisely.
So it's kind of a miracle when we can stay in that open-hearted place long enough to move from it, right?
Yes, it is a miracle. It is a miracle. And then to record about it and listen back to it, to, you know, retrain myself when that experience happens again, to not go with that nanosecond of conditioning's justifications or negating or, you know, you don't feel like it, don't want to, why, you know, you're right, it's my life, I don't have to, like that little rebellious teenager sometimes comes up.
Mm-hmm. Little rebellious teenage ego. Yeah.
Teenage ego. That's a great,
right?
That's a
great, yeah. Yeah, because so many people get confused that rebellious teenager is authentic.
Yeah.
Because it feels so different from the child place.
Yes,
but
it
isn't. It's just rebellious ego as a teenager.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Great.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Todd.
Thanks, Sherry.
Very
thank
helpful.
You, Ashwini. Thank you, Sangha. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Todd. Give me a second, Sherry. I'm trying to find Todd to mute him in the queue. Hang on a second.
All right.
There we go.
All right.
The thing that was coming up for me around that, Sherry, is that, you know, with so much, with practice, it's such a focus on losing interest in the feeling and divorcing that conditionality that Todd was pointing to between what I feel and what I do. And then if we get to the place that we can go past the I don't want to, I don't feel like it, and then go ahead and meditate or record and listen or whatever it is that was moving us. And then there's the place also where the joy is absent in the doing, and that's a place also to check in and recalibrate the attention, because that's another place where conditioning basically doesn't allow us to participate in whatever we're doing. It propagates the feeling of negation in the doing afterwards, right?
Yes. Well, and can be throughout.
And can
right?
be throughout.
Okay, I'm doing it. I'm doing it, but boy, I don't want to. And what's not seen in all of these places that are being described is that underneath that is the joy of being.
Mm-hmm.
Just which being is, alive.
Which is the redirect of attention, right, Sherry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why we want to find it, which is what makes recording and listening so important, as Todd said. You know, then you have that experience and you record about it and you listen to it and it becomes more familiar than that. Well, yeah, but no, I don't feel like that.
The ability to redirect from ego, regardless of what it is, how and when it shows up, is just so critical.
Yes. And pretty soon with that process, we realize that kind of bubble of joy, bubbling up of joy or whatever, that feeling that we have of being alive, what authenticity feels like, is there all the time. And there's a little gap in ego, and it kind of squirts through. We go, and there's our proof that it's there underneath, behind. The ego is covering over what we are. It's not underneath it's not the bottom line, as people are conditioned to believe. It's an overlay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
It's Erin in Massachusetts.
Well, hello. What do you
How
mean?
Are you? Well, so I was working with giving at work, like at work, and I really
say,
got
say
me
that
to
again, Anne.
Oh,
say,
I was
say
I was
again. I didn't quite follow that.
Okay, I was working on my feelings around how I give at work. And generally thinking, feeling like I overpromise and underdeliver. So that was kind of what I was trying to work on. And what I came to after the month was, this whole time is I'm realizing I've been sitting in a place, or ego has me sitting in a place where I'm expecting the worst. And so I prep myself for something bad happening. Okay, so that's one thing. And then the next thing.
Well,
a lot of
little kids know that place from the classic. You just wait until your father gets home.
Yeah.
Right? And so, or you know, the note's going to go home to your parents. Or
yeah.
what that threat, if you're not the way you need to be right now, something bad is going to happen to you down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another sort of thing I've been thinking about a lot is the value of practice generally. Mm-hmm. And I have lots of different practices in my life. I mean, this is becoming a practice, and like the writing that I do at work is a practice, and I practice a lot of yoga. And
if you bring awareness into all of it, you will only have one practice.
Well, and so, but that's exactly it, Sherry, because I was trying to relate, trying to understand more this sense that something bad will eventually happen, so I should expect the worst and prepare myself for it. And I was trying to relate that to the how wonderful practice is in my life. And I thought, oh, okay, the idea is rather than practicing that something bad is going to happen or that I'm going to fail, what if I practiced the universe is kind and open and life is here and lovely? Because, you know, like a bad thing will probably happen at some point. Like that's kind of the experience of life. But if I'm practicing,
I just realized who you are. You're Aaron, not Anne, as I tried to make you be. I was going to give you a new identity and see if that was helpful, but let's not do that right now, okay? We'll do that later.
Okay.
So again, if we believe ego's version of reality, something bad will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't believe that version of reality, which, say, for instance, I don't, mm-hmm. then things will happen that I'm conditioned not to want and that I'm conditioned to try to avoid and not like and all those stories. But that's not the same as bad. So this is that place where we look back over our lives and look at all of the things that brought you to awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
Where probably ego thought a lot of those were bad or wanted you to believe they were bad. But were they? No, they were actually awakening experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're correct. Absolutely. No, I see that even in the worst thing. Well, okay, whatever. Even in the perceived as worst things.
Well,
I'm here. I'm here.
That's exactly right. I mean, people we love die.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Diseases happen. God knows we're all living through one of the worst nightmares known to humanity, right? And so we could fall into that, oh, my God, this is awful, or we could realize, wow, this is a really big workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm getting to see so many things so fast in this. It's stunning.
So I think, like, the place where I feel like I've, like, the things I feel like I've been able to drop or identify as droppable is prepping myself for something bad to happen. Like, that seems like just a waste of time.
Which ego is doing. Now, you're not.
Right.
Okay, so you identify with that ego story, and then you go off with that. Okay, go ahead.
And then I'm practicing being in this place of, you know, from the simple of like, it's a beautiful day, the trees are green, to, you know, whatever, just living in the space of like right here now. Then as I walk through my life, as I approach events, I'm approaching them with like an open mind who's able to constantly learn with each event that's happened to me. That's
right.
That's like literally, that's what I experienced this week.
Yes. And so when you're in yoga, Mm-hmm. You can either be listening to a voice that says, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. If you do that, you're going to hurt yourself. Or you're there in that mentoring place of, well, let's just see. Let's just try it. You don't have to get crazy. Let's just see. So when you're writing, you're there. You're watching what the voices are saying, how they're trying to stop you, how they're trying to, right? So that's how we bring awareness practice to every moment of our lives. And what you're describing from this week is you're watching how those voices want to drag you into that negativity, and you're coming back to what is actually so.
Yeah, so yesterday I delivered a draft, and I got so to get back to the like work thing, I delivered a draft and I got feedback which felt in the moment as critical. And I was able in the moment to like see my reaction. And then I wrote back to the commenter, this is wonderful. This is a draft.
Thank you.
Point of it is to get a reaction from people, which I got. And so it's doing its work. The commenter wrote back to me, great.
Yes. Well, yes, because if that person is in a position, that position in your life, you know, we forget that they can be cringing just like we were before we realized this process, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're
mm-hmm.
waiting, you know, God, I got to tell her it's not where it needs to be.
Yeah.
She's going to go ballistic. She's going to get upset. She's going to, you know, and then what is up, blah, blah, blah. So to get from somebody, oh, that's great. Thank you.
I know. I want to screenshot that comment from him, and I need to, like, paste it on my wall or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And Aaron, you know that I wish everybody in the world could get that. Could get that principle that when we simply say thank you and receive everything as the gift that it is, not only does it make our lives easy and make everybody else's life easy, right? It opens doors that we can't even imagine.
Yes.
Because everybody wants to be around somebody who is open and participatory and happy and grateful. We're all looking for that person, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
The problem is they're going to try to promote you. They're going to try to give you a job that you don't want because now you have all these characteristics that they want in a leader.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, well, we'll deal with that when it comes.
That's exactly right. We'll give that one to Ann. We can get him promoted. No problem. All right. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Bye-bye.
Sherry, the thing I was seeing about that shift in orientation from the world is bad to me having to either defend myself against or prepare myself against or worry against, whatever it is that... Mm-hmm. We accept the world as it is, and really what shifts is our ability to relate to it differently, right?
Yes.
That's what we are practicing all the time, that acceptance is of how life is, and then within quotes, I don't have to react to it. I can be present to it.
Yes, yes. And part of life is us, right?
Yes.
So long time... Aaron would get upset with feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we accept that, and we look at that, and what goes on with that, and well, that's not making me happy. Is there another way I can be with this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't. I mean, and I always appreciate this when you pointed out that feedback is someone's experience. It's not about me, right? And so we can accept it and look at it. But we have to be in acceptance to be able to look at it from that perspective of, okay, well, that's that person's perspective. What goes on for me? What's my perspective? And what are we trying to accomplish here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And none of it needs to come from who's right.
Precisely. Yeah. Or who's what's wrong also.
Right. Even worse.
Even worse. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I think we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Whoopsie. Are you there?
Oh, hold on.
Okay, here he comes.
There? Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is Brad in Maryland. How are you?
Good, Brad. What are you seeing?
Well, I have to tell you, amazingly, I didn't even realize I was in the queue, so that was quite a shock.
Got the old heart going?
It does. It does.
There?
So what I'm seeing is just so much of the issue I have of giving in terms of time with my kids and how that works out. Because of the experience I had growing up with, feeling like my dad wasn't there a lot of the time, how I balance that issue of making sure that I'm there for them. I'm there enough each day, but yet at the same time, I don't feel like I'm suffering in a duality of not having any time for myself or that whole setup, I suppose.
You don't feel that way.
Well, I'm trying not to feel that way. I'm saying is once I slide off into duality, then I know problems are ahead.
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly. It doesn't matter what the duality is, does it? It's just that this is a good one. You know, the thing that, of course, that we realize is your dad got to go to work, we guess, right? That's part of the reason he wasn't around a lot. Right.
Well, that, and he was very much into his hobbies. He was a big sailor, and before that it was airplane flying, and before that it was stock car racing. So it was always something, always some process outside of the kids.
At some process and not a pandemic.
Correct.
So you're getting a whole different fatherhood opportunity here, right? And then we get to see how much of what goes on is not circumstantial, which is what you're pointing at. You are there. You're there all the time. But are you there?
Yes.
Which is a question that we ask not just with our kids or partners or but with ourselves. I mean, I spend all day with me, but how much am I here?
Yeah, and you know, the mentor tells me that the process I want to be engaged in, it's not the what, it's the how. And whatever I do with him, it's not what I do. It's a matter of my level of attention to what I bring to it.
Exactly so. And is that your experience with the kids?
It is, because I notice them having the most fun with me, no matter what the activity, when I'm most engaged.
Exactly. And again, we can apply that to ourselves and our own life, right? We are the happiest when we are present with ourselves. It doesn't actually matter what we're doing.
Correct. And the funny thing is when we step out of that, we notice ego trying to chase after that feeling that it thinks it can find, but it's not a matter of an external.
That's it. That is it exactly.
No, I'm not cured in saying that. I'm just saying I noticed that.
I got you. yeah. First we understand the principle, and then we begin the application. But the thing that's so wonderful about what you're saying, what you're realizing, is it is we don't have to do a bunch of stuff, right? Because being here takes care of you. Being here takes care of your partner. Being here takes care of your kids. Being here takes care of your work. Being here takes care of everything.
Yeah, and that doesn't require any effort. It just requires the awareness that you are simply here.
That's it. In fact, it requires a great deal of lack of effort because we stop doing in order simply to be.
Yeah. It's very contradictory towards everything we've been conditioned to, particularly in Western society, but I see it more and more, and that's promising. So.
Oh, it's so promising. It is so promising. It is all we need to realize, because that is the way it has been with every single thing in our lives. Everything. First, we get a glimmer, then we pursue. And the more we pursue, the clearer it gets. And it doesn't matter whether you're learning a language or learning to cook or learning a computer program or whatever. It's all the same process.
Yeah, it's a revealing rather than the fact that I've accomplished something
Precisely.
In a way.
Precisely. You know? It's an uncovering rather than
yes.
a getting.
Yes,
yes,
exactly.
Oh, it's so good.
Right on.
Thank you. Thank you,
okay,
Brad.
Well, thank you. It was great to speak to you. I wasn't planning on it, but here I am.
See? God is good. That's where we file that.
All right.
Life understood that we needed to talk today.
Oh, believe me. I needed to talk. I wasn't in the queue, but I needed to talk, so thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
All right.
Go happy.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brad. It's so, I so appreciate that point that it's not the amount of time I spend, but my presence.
Yeah.
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 Makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. And which is a real commercial for meditation.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take a lot of time of choosing to be with oneself. Mm. To start making that huge difference that we were just talking about with Brad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It makes no difference if I spend hours if my attention is on a conversation because I'm not here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Could be doing all the right stuff.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Here's our assignment, Sherry. The karmic conversation holds the key. However, the way the conversation is framed causes us to go to what is not so rather than what is so. Assignment. What is revealed to you through the karmic conversation? RL, what you see. Example. The voice says, I can't take on one more thing. And it's true. I can't. This is a signal to step out of the conditioned realm of limitation and let life feel the request. If life chooses me to be the instrument of giving in the moment, there will be all the time and energy to fulfill the request.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And being open to that, being chosen, we had such a wonderful example of that, right? Mm-hmm. Where Brad has no idea he's in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
When life makes a decision, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Decision. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank
and
you,
we'll
everybody.
Talk to everyone after the weekend.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.